Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, welcome to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James. Happy Friday to you. Are you getting into the rhythm of us coming out on Friday? That is what we're doing. We love coming to you. We are sitting at the kitchen table right now. I'm with my great friend, Mariah Ballweber.
Hello.
And we are discussing history, one of our favorite topics of conversation when we're not behind the microphone. We talk about this stuff all the time. So we thought we would just join in the fun with you and bring you along. We have coffee on. If you want some coffee, just let us know. You should grab some coffee, actually, or tea, or whatever it is for you, and come and sit down and chat with us, because we're talking about the other side of hopelessness. What happens? What is the point of hopelessness? Does God ever orchestrate that place? And is there a reason for hopelessness? Because remember, last week on New Year's Day, we ended up at the Red Sea with Moses and the Lord saying, "Don't cry, get up and move forward." Except the only problem was there was nowhere to go.
Right.
We talked about the fact that God loves a good drama. He loves a good show. He loves showing out and becoming very strong and obviously fighting for his people. Mm-hmm. And so all it took for Moses was to stand up and do exactly what God said. Now, in the natural, it doesn't seem like raising your stick above your head and speaking to the people is going to cause the sea to part, right? Because the armies of Egypt are behind you and the sea is in front of you, and there's no way through this. There's no victory on the other side of this. Why do you guys keep hoping? The media would say, why do you keep hoping? Why do you keep just proclaiming that everything, that it will be as God said? Because he's already spoken, hasn't he, to the children of Israel? He told them that it was their time to be free. He told them there was a land for them and that it was on the other side of this bondage. But they got to this place where nothing was going to go right. There was death on either way they decided to go. There was death. Everything was being defeated. Everything was being cast down. Everything they hoped for was in the balance, and fear had taken over the camp, and it only took one man. Notice with me, it didn't take the whole nation to get the breakthrough. It took a remnant, somebody who would stand up and proclaim what God said and raise that stick and watch God move. So they're at the Red Sea. He raises the stick. A wind comes. A wind from the presence of God comes and blows that sea to the side. So if you can imagine, I want to see that. See, there's going to be a video room in heaven. I'm convinced of it. I need to see these things play out. Because what did that look like for the walls of water to stand up on themselves and to create a road in the middle of that sea that had always been there? That when the sea was created, the Lord put a road there because he knew his people were going to need it. And he loved the drama of the fact that he was going to uncover it for them. And so he did. As he held the enemy off, they were still coming, right? And the cloud moved behind them and he held the enemy off. He split the sea with a wind from his nostrils, is what the scripture says. And they went through not on sopping wet ground. It was dry as a bone. They walked through. But can you imagine what that looked like? That did not look safe and sound, did it? There were octopus. There were sharks. There were yucky things. There are things at the bottom of the sea I never want to see. I'm not that girl. I don't want to go to the bottom of the sea. I'm not. That's not my thing. Can you imagine? It's all exposed. All the nasty is exposed and held at bay by the wind of God. And they get to walk through it and see everything. Now, I can imagine the kids going, this is the coolest thing ever. Cool. This is so cool. But the grandmas and the grandpas and the moms and dads are terrified. And it didn't take 15 minutes for them to get across. Mm-mm. I believe they walked all day and night to get across. Wow. 6 million people through that sea. And the Lord led them through on a path he created for them when he put that sea in place. I love that. On the other side of hopelessness, beloved, there's a breakthrough. There's a split in the sea. There's a path you didn't know about. There's a path to victory we couldn't see yet. And we will see it because God's word has gone forth and he will have what he said. It's the other side of hopelessness. Don't ever stop when things look hopeless, because on the very other side of hopelessness is a breakthrough. It's a passage through. Keep moving. That's what God said. He said, tell the people to get up and move forward. I had to do that by faith. And when we live by faith, we live in prophetic contradiction to what we are looking at. We're looking at the ocean on one, or the sea on one side, and the army on the other. But prophetic contradiction is, I'm going to keep moving forward because the word of God said, there's something beyond this for me. This isn't the end. This isn't the end because of what God said. We have got to get that fire in our bellies that says we will have what God said we will have. Because if they just went to bed that day and they just went, you know, God's going to do what God's going to do. If he wants us to get through, he'll get us through. Sisters and brothers, they would have died on that shore.
Yeah.
They would have died on that shore. They had to move by faith.
In fact, God said, when Moses said, stand right here, stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord then corrected him and said, why are you crying out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. It's not a passive thing. We don't.
No, it's not passive.
It's not passive at all. He wants to partner with us. And this is, let me tell you, this is old covenant.
Yeah.
And he wants to partner with
us. And we have a better covenant based on better promises.
Way better covenant.
Yes.
We can come to the throne of grace in boldness.
Oh, God.
They couldn't do that. They had a different covenant.
That's so good.
So if they were partners with God, we are even more so.
Yeah. That is so good.
And what I love about this is when we walk in faith, God always has a divine setup for the enemy to be defeated.
Yeah. Because remember, we talked about that last week. It was a setup.
Yeah.
That was a way that in one fell swoop, the Lord could wipe out the enemy right before their eyes and they would never see those Egyptians again.
And he pulled them. The Lord, I love him because it says the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea. And all the king's horses and all the king's men, what does it say? All of Pharaoh's horses, all his chariots and all his horsemen. Everybody.
Everybody.
Not one of them was left out.
Everybody. Because they were coming after the children of Israel anyway. And the Lord, and the word said he hardened their hearts. So they all got into the trap that they thought was a trap for God's people. And what does it say? It says the chariot wheels fell off. They got stuck in the sand and they fell off of the chariot. And then it says they drave them, in the King James, it says they drave them hard. They kept pushing these chariots without wheels. Can you imagine the hardness of heart involved in that? At some point, I would have said, you know what? This isn't working out very well. We need to turn around. If I'm fighting against God's people.
Well, and they do say that. So it says he took off, the Lord took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.
Hear that. When the Lord fights for us, everyone will know that he fights for us.
Oh, my.
Even the godless will proclaim that God is fighting for us because our mission is just.
Yeah.
And it is right. And when your mission is just and it is right and you have the prophetic word of the Lord on your side, there is nothing too difficult for him. There is nothing hopeless for him. It only seems hopeless to us. That's why he said, tell them to go forward, because he knew the path in the middle of the sea. They couldn't see it, but he could. It's not hopeless for him. Mm-hmm. It's just hopeless for us because we see in part. And we prophesy in part. We see through a glass darkly. We have to trust the one who sees. He sees, and he already spoke what he saw. And so we agree with the prophets, and we prosper because of it. Amen? That is a good word. He took the wheels off. They didn't see that coming, did they?
Mm-mm.
They didn't see that coming. These wheels didn't just fall off. This was Egypt, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. The wheels weren't shaky. They had the best of everything, and the Lord took their wheels off.
Yeah.
I think he's taken some wheels off.
Yeah.
I think he is destroying the plots and the plans of the enemy against your family.
Yeah.
And he's taking the wheels off of the enemy's plans, and they're getting stuck in the very trap they thought that you would fall into. I think he's taking the wheels off of the plots and the plans of the enemy over our nation. Because there's been some proclamations from the word of the Lord over this nation that America will be saved, that it will be a city on a hill. And yet the enemy thinks they have us, don't they? Or at this taping, they think they have us. But let me tell you something. The Lord has plans you didn't know anything about.
That's true.
There are roads in the middle of seas that you had no idea about. And the enemy definitely doesn't know. So he will fall into his own trap that he thought he would use to destroy this nation, to destroy your family, to destroy your children. No way. Not on our watch. It's not happening. You got to get in agreement with us about that. All right, let's look at another hopeless situation that is never hopeless. One step beyond hopelessness is breakthrough, because God likes a good drama. Let's talk about the fact that Elisha, actually, we'll talk about Elijah first, because J comes before S, so Elijah comes before Elisha. That's how I always remember. Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? There were 450 prophets of Baal. 450 people saying what the enemy wanted them to say throughout the land. This was the media of their day. They were speaking the word of Jezebel and Ahab. Very real people driven by very real demonic spirits that are still around today. And these prophets of Baal were saying, give up. There's nobody who believes in Yahweh anymore. We are the ones in control now. This will be a godless nation. This will be a godless culture. And there was one little prophet, wasn't there? And they came to do this blowing time, this time of confrontation on the top of Mount Carmel, right? Where the 450 prophets of Baal are lining up against one little prophet named Elijah. Do you remember this story? You should go read it. Remember, it's in 2 Kings.
This one's in 1
Kings. Oh, 1 Kings. We're going to 2 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. You should read about it. So anyway, they're up there on the top of that mountain, and they're crying out to their demon God, and he's not answering them. One little man full of the anointing of God gets up there and calls on the Lord after teasing them a while, because they called out on their God all day long and into the evening. And Elijah begins to, you know, call on the foolishness of what they were doing. And he sets up a situation and he said, you know what? We will serve the God who answers by fire. That's what we're going to do. We're going to serve the one who answers us by fire. So they called on their God and nothing. Elijah hasn't said anything or very little. And at some point he said, that's it. And he calls on our God, the same God that we serve. And he said, Lord, show them your power. And God answers by fire. He licks up the sacrifice. He burns up the stones. He licks up the water that was poured on the sacrifice to make it impossible for that sacrifice to burn. And yet God, in a moment, can you say in a moment?
In a moment,
he sets everything right. One step beyond hopelessness. And then those 450 prophets of Baal were killed that day. And that very day, a 3-year drought was broken. And the rain of God began to pour on the land so hard that it overtook the drought that had almost killed everybody in that region. Amazing. Amazing. And shortly thereafter, Jezebel was destroyed and Ahab was taken down. The breakthrough came just on the other side of hopelessness. Now on to Elisha. Do you remember Elisha? Elisha had a helper. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha had a helper. He proved to be not a great guy later on. His name was Gehazi. He wasn't very bright. But on this particular day, see, Elisha had this habit of hearing from the Lord what the enemy king was speaking. And so then Elisha would share it with the people of Israel and they would know the game plan. Well, so the king got angry at that, as you can imagine, because he was told that this prophet keeps prophesying what you stay in your bedchamber, and so all your plans come to nothing. So he sends his army down there, and there were thousands of people in this army, and he sends his army down there to trap this little prophet and his little helper. So there's two men down there, and the little helper comes into the man of God, and he says, Father, there the whole army's stationed up there on these hills against us. And the prophet takes another sip of coffee and he said, and not a problem, basically I'm paraphrasing. And he said, no, you don't understand. They've all come to get us, to trap us, to kill us. And he said, there's more with us than there are with them. Do you remember this story? There are more with us than there are with them. And Gehazi is looking and counting. He's counting thousands of people. And then he counts the two people on their side. One, two, Gehazi and the prophet. And he's not understanding the word of this man of God. And the prophet begins to call on the Lord and said, Lord, I need you to open his eyes. And when he did, he saw that the hills were filled with chariots of fire and angels that have come to fight for the man of God. There are more with us than there are with them. You have got to understand that. You are not alone in this battle. It was just on the other side of hopelessness where great breakthrough happened. Amen? There is nothing too difficult for him. It's only hopeless to you because you're not looking at it right. But he knows exactly what he wants to do. Partner with him. Be useful to the Lord. Say what he is saying. Stand and do not quit. Do whatever it is he tells you to do and fight for the ground he's given you, and you will have victory, beloved. See, the other side of hopelessness, it's all over the scripture. It's all over history. We're going to talk about the scripture, and then we're going to talk about history, recent history that you may or may not know about. The Lord does this all the time. What we're seeing in our nation right now is nothing new. We have seen God break through in the most ridiculously hopeless situations that you can imagine. And he'll do it again and again. Is there more about this in the scripture?
Oh, yeah.
There is more. 1 Samuel 30. We talked about this not too long ago. I brought this up at Breed last time. 1 Samuel 30. I'm paraphrasing again because I don't have time to read to you all of these stories. But you need to go read it. Is where David was fighting a battle. David and his men were fighting and winning a battle over here, somewhere over here. And their families were living in a town called Ziklag. So while they were winning against the enemy in this area over here, another part of the enemy in the back door at Ziklag and burned the city and captured their wives and their children. Hopeless.
I can't imagine coming back home.
Hopeless.
And there's nobody there.
Nobody there.
But ashes and rubble.
Mm-hmm. Your wives are gone. Your children are gone. Nowhere to be found.
I mean, I can't imagine being one of the wives. I haven't thought about that.
Kidnapped.
Oh my gosh.
And the men that served David were frantic. You can imagine they lost their wives and their children too. Here we are fighting for the nation, for this man that doesn't even look like he's going back into office, but we're fighting for this man and our family is taken. So like a lot of humans will do at that point, they turn on him and they say, you know what? It's your fault. We're going to stone you to death. What would you do? What would you do? Because that is a hopeless situation. There's no way for us to fix that. There's no way for us to fix that. Think about that as we take a break to hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110 or visit us on the web at GregJamesDesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Okay, you're back with us on Breathing Room. My name is Sandy James, and I am here with the beautiful Mariah Ball-Weber. We are talking about Ziklag. The city has been burned to the ground, and your wives and your children are taken. Your family is gone. And the men that were sworn to fight with you are speaking of stoning you. They're tired of it. Just concede, they say. Just give up, right? The ones that said, we're with you to the end, are saying, okay, I'm so tired of it. What did David do? if you read it, you'll notice that he leaves everybody behind and he goes into his secret place with the Lord, to that place where he would cry out to God. He knew how to get a hold of God. He'd been crying out to God since he was singing to him in the sheep field when he was a kid. He learned how to access his secret place and hear from the Lord. He shut down what everybody was saying and he went in to seek the face of the Lord. And it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Because he figured that God didn't bring him this far for him to lose everything. Stop allowing people to tell you, well, you know, the Lord may want you to fail on this one. He may want us to lose everything on this one. What if God has a weird purpose in you losing everything? No. That is not God's purpose. It says whatever we set our hand to will prosper. That is our covenant.
And if you believe that, or if you have believed that, if you've let hopelessness rob you of some joy, of some breakthrough, turn and see his face.
Yeah.
Because that,
yeah,
just seeing the face of Jesus will revive that again in you.
Yes.
Because it shows you, just a glance from his eyes shows you what's possible.
Yeah.
When you thought it was impossible, what you thought and what people may have convinced you of, what the enemy convinced you of, you know, maybe God doesn't want to do that for you. Maybe this is how it's supposed to be. Maybe you were supposed to get sick.
No.
Maybe you weren't supposed to get sick. Maybe you're supposed to get healed.
Right.
In fact, you are supposed to get
healed. Maybe you're supposed to be a sign and a wonder in the earth.
Your whole family is supposed to get saved. That is the God we serve. He wants everybody in the kingdom. He doesn't want anybody to die and not be with him. He wants your whole family saved. He wants you saved. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be free.
Yeah.
And if you've let the enemy convince you otherwise, just turn away from that lie.
Yeah.
Repent and look at his face again. He's not holding that against you. He just wants you to have hope in him again.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? We strengthen ourselves in the Lord.
And the scripture says hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Right.
In Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You got to repent of that.
Yeah.
You have to recalibrate. Go find his face again and remember what he told you.
What did you, Sandy, you told me something the other day about the word repent. The word pent
means to go up. Pent means to go up, like the penthouse at the top of the hotel. Pent means to go up. So to repent is to go up again.
It's to come higher.
Come higher.
It's get the right perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've been down here in the dirt. I've been believing the lies. Repent. Come higher.
Come higher.
Look at it with him again.
Mm-hmm.
He's always full of hope. He's never like, you know what? It is bad, isn't it? No, he's never like that.
He never loses hope. It's never too hard for him. It is, I don't care what you're looking at, beloved, it is never too hard for him. And on the other side, what seems like hopelessness to us is breakthrough, mm-hmm, like we could never imagine. Do you remember? So he goes in and he seeks the face of the Lord and he shuts down everything else. This is a good practice. He shuts everything else down that is not building him up in the things of God and in the promise of God. And he asked the Lord, what shall I do? Shall I pursue, overtake, and recover all? And the Lord speaks to him and says, as a matter of fact, you shall go pursue them. You will without fail recover all. He gives him instruction on what to do. When you're looking at something hopeless, it's only because you're not seeing everything that he's seeing. He has a solution in his mind right now about whatever you're facing, whatever we're facing. There is a solution. There is nothing too difficult for him. Remind yourself of what he has already told you. There is another side to hopelessness.
Yeah. Even when you thought, wait, I think that was the only solution. And it's gone now.
And it's gone now.
Oh, no. He is so in the business of hope. He is so not lost in the chaos of despair. He's not.
He's not despairing.
Oh,
he's
no.
not at all worried.
Mm-mm.
He's not at all worried. And you were put here for such a time as this.
Wow.
Can you feel that? Yeah. I felt that more in my life now than I've ever understood it in my entire life. I am on time. He needed me here at this moment. He needs you here at this moment to be freedom fighters in the spirit, to be the ones who will rise up and insist that God's will come to pass in the earth. Do we have to do that? Yes, we absolutely have to do that. If David had just laid down in the middle of this, if he had just laid down and started to cry and wail and complain, he would have lost everything. And it wouldn't have been God's plan for him. It wouldn't have been God's heart. God doesn't always get what he wants. He gets what he wants when people of God align themselves with what he said and they do what he said. Whatever he says to you, do it. That's the plan. That's the key to miracles. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is the tree of life. Amen. We're going to get to the other side of that scripture. We're going to get to the other side of that scripture. Stop the dread in the name of Jesus. Stop hopelessness now in Jesus' name. What you see now, went like back at the Red Sea, the Egyptians you see now, you will not see again forever.
Come on.
They drowned in that sea and they never looked at their faces again. That's what's happening with us. That's what I will stand for, and I will not back down until I see it come to pass, because I will be like David, who refuses the commentary of everyone around me that wants to destroy and wants to naysay and resist the wisdom of God and pout and complain. But I will be the one that goes to God and said, you said, I'm going to remind you what you said. Now, what can I do? What can I do? How can I work with you, Father? In all of this. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening to this podcast today. We want to hear from you. We want to know who you are. We want to know the hopeless situation that you are facing that's not at all hopeless.
And we want to know the hopeless situations that you have faced.
Yeah.
What did the Lord do?
Yeah.
How did he part that Red Sea
exactly.
for you?
Exactly. What Red Sea did he part, and how did that happen? And how were you feeling just before it happened?
Right.
Don't give up. Never give up. We don't ever give up. God bless you, beloved. We love you. We shatter hopelessness off of your life today in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we breathe life and hope and light back into your soul in Jesus' name. You're at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. You are right on time,
yes,
beloved.
You are
right on time, and we love you. You contact us at breatheretreat.life. We want to hear from you. Share this podcast with anyone that you know. Subscribe to this podcast, and we will talk to you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.